And this is my beautiful wife, Jennifer. And share with us what the Lord has on your heart today.
This is kind of fun for me, so I'm glad he talked me into it. Well, there is a word that has been coming up over and over and over for the last 2 weeks with me, and it's the word understanding. And so I've done, you know, a little bit of research, and obviously it's something he's wanting me to pray for you guys and for myself. And it led me to like Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read 17 through 18. And it's that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So what jumped out was eyes of your understanding. I was like, okay, well, that's a little unusual, but obviously there's something significant here. And in Acts 26:18, it reads, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So I got to thinking, it's obviously this type of wisdom is more than just comprehending it, so much more. And it's more than just agreeing with what you're hearing. It's obviously, when you read in Acts, it's something that will actually make you turn and go a different direction. These eyes will make you turn and go a different direction. It's more like, to me, it's more like a force that causes you to transform. And I'd like to, I mean, it kind of ties in with what we're learning on Sundays, that it leads to an effortless change with these eyes of your understanding. So if you think about in the natural, your eyes, can they lie? I mean, they can, but for the most part, you've heard the expression, if I can see it, I'll believe it. Or if I just saw it with my own eyes, I would believe it. I mean, you guys have heard this expression, right? So that's the thing, is that there are eyes to your understanding. And to me, this is where you get, where your eyes need to be. This is where you need to focus, is what the Word says. Because what, you know, if what you see is what you believe, your eyes of your understanding, when you look at this, this becomes the truth. This is true. So I'm just encouraging you, focus just not only the physical eyes, but make the heart believe the things that you're seeing with your eyes of understanding. So I just decree that all of you, your eyes, you have that understanding of what the Spirit is saying to you.
Amen. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about living the changed life. Living the changed life. This is the third week. And what does that mean? Living the changed life. It's not that I'm learning how to change my life, because Jesus already changed me. Amen. Jesus, there is a finished work that Jesus did on the cross. There's a finished work that took place when he was raised from the dead. We were reconciled to God because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. Praise God. God was in Jesus, the Bible says, reconciling the world to himself. Now, what I get to do is I get to respond to that truth. Jesus came. It's an invitation into a relationship with him. It's an invitation into union with God. It's an invitation to experience the changed life, to experience life in his kingdom. He is inviting us to experience a life of abundance. He's inviting us to experience a life of health. He's inviting us to experience a life of joy and peace. And he says, I've already done everything for you. Now just step in and just receive. Man, isn't that awesome? I don't have to work for it. I don't have to strive for it. I don't have to make sure that I have all the lists correct and that I do everything in order to be able to make sure that I receive from God. No, I get to just simply say, thank you, Father. I receive that. I believe what you've said. And so with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I get to just out of the abundance of my heart, believe what God has said and just release that and receive it and just walk in it. Amen. Man, this is exciting. I mean, the life of a believer, there's nothing like it. We're not called to just a natural life. We're not called to live like, look like, be like everybody else in the world. No, we are called to rise above the water, to walk on the water. I mean, Jesus says, come, get out of your boat of mediocrity. Get out of your boat of average. Get out of your boat of being around everybody else. And he's saying, just like he said to Peter, he said, come, I'm out here in a different place, and I have called you to come out into this place with me. You don't have to swim through the circumstances of life. You don't have to swim through the problems of life. You can walk on top of it because you're seated in heavenly places in me in Christ Jesus. Man, that's the life that I want to experience every single day. That's the life that Jennifer and I, we've learned how to experience every single day, you know, and just recognize what God has said. Let's start out in John chapter 1. Living the changed life. What Jennifer said was so important because as in Matthew chapter 13, and you can look this up, but Jesus talks about the word of the kingdom and the sower sows the word. And we're talking about the word of God, but it says that these are they which are sown, seed that is sown by the wayside. He said, when they've heard the word of the kingdom, they don't have understanding. And so Satan's able to come and take that word because they don't understand it. Now, he's not talking about comprehension. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that goes far beyond that. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says that wisdom, somebody say wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. You need wisdom for your life. But you don't need your wisdom. And you don't need the university's wisdom. That's right. And you don't need everybody else's wisdom. Because wisdom, true wisdom, starts in one place. Man. With the respect, with the fear of the Lord, with the honor for His word, with the honor for Him. That's where wisdom starts. In other words, what God has said. Guys, can you just pull me back just a little bit? I got some kind of feedback happening there. What God says is true. Yes. Amen. That seems like a very simple concept. And we all agree with it. How many of you agree with what God says is true? How many of you? Yes. But do you know that every church, if you ask that question, everybody's going to raise their hand. So we can agree that what God has said is true. But do we live that way? Do we live out of that belief? See, wisdom starts there. And then he says that wisdom is the principal thing, but with all you're getting. In other words, I need to have a lifestyle wanting to live a life out of wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom by itself isn't what I'm looking for. Wisdom and understanding is key. And that's why Paul said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. So I want to talk about those things a little bit this morning. How do you get that understanding? How do you get to that place that those eyes are open and that you're experiencing the changed life? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, before everything was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, get a hold of that. The Word was with God, but the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Right off the bat, as a believer, as a Christian, you've got to make a decision that your life is going to be governed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Your life needs to be governed by what's in. And why is this important? Now, I'll tell you. Because if you'll jump down to verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh. The Word was wrapped up in human flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth. The Word, can you get a picture that the Word that created all of this, the very Word that God spoke, the very Word that was God, it came in and it entered into this world in human flesh, and it was the Word walking around. The living Word of God. Revelations tells us that as he saw a picture of Jesus coming out of the clouds on the horse, said, and he had a new name, and his name was the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5 tells us there are three in heaven that agreed together. The Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Word, Jesus himself. Think about it. The Word. The will of God in action, walking on this earth. Jesus said, oh, I'm getting excited already. Jeff, me and you may have to run here before it's all over with. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you know, the Philip told him, said, show us the Father. And we just want to see the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't have to go to all these other scriptures. If I just look at the life of Jesus and I just see him and I behold him and I look to him, I am looking at the Word. Every time I open this, I am and I'm reading through this and I see the words and the things that God speaks. I'm seeing Jesus in this Word. I'm looking at him. Now, why is this important? Because while Jesus walked on the earth, he was the will of God in action. He demonstrated what that was. So when he came across somebody that was sick, what did he do? He healed them. That's the Word. God sent his Word now in human flesh, and he healed. Every place he went, he set people free. Every place the Word, the living Word of God, caused people to come out of darkness. I mean, to the point that the Pharisees and the religious people were upset because of the demons being cast out. So they started accusing him and said, well, he's just operating under satanic power and he's just casting out devils by the devil. How stupid can you be? Instead of rejoicing over the freedom that people were experiencing, because they couldn't do it, and because they didn't have that, and people were following out, they got jealous, they got envious, and people still do that today. You know, people will fight you in the church for the right to be sick.
Yeah.
They will fight you. I'm just going to get in your business for a moment. They will fight you for the right to have bad times. They will fight you for the right to just experience a little bit of rain in their life. You know, everybody goes through, you know, we have ups and we have downs. And you know, and when you're going through the valley, God's allowing you to go through the valley, you know. And so what we do is we try to cause the Word of God to fit our experience. See, because we don't want to yield and we don't want to admit that maybe we're not experiencing what God has for us. You know, we love to be right. We love to be right. And so it's easier to try to fit our theology around our experience and what we think is right. And there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. But see, Jesus didn't come. Jesus did not come to sympathize with you.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus did not come to pat you on the back and say, I understand what you're going through. Jesus didn't come to say, here, let me just get down here with you and let's just all have a pity party together, because yes, it's tough what people have done to you, and it's tough what you're going through, and I'm so sorry. That no, Jesus didn't have that attitude at all. Jesus came to change your life.
That's right.
Jesus came so that you would have a changed experience.
That's right.
Jesus came so that not that you could just come out of darkness, but that you would experience His life, that His life would live through you, that He would live through you. And when you let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reign in your life, and you yield to what the Word of God says and to the decree of the kingdom, when you yield to that and you let that, then what happens is victory just starts happening. You start overcoming in every area of your life. Then what people have said, what people have done, that doesn't matter anymore, because now I've decided that I'm going to live my life based on what God has said about me.
Amen.
I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. We need to act like being a child of God. Come on. Jesus didn't come to sympathize. Jesus didn't come to just do. He came. Look, comfort. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. The comfort of the Holy Ghost is to take you into the place. Oh, man. I have so many things I want to share this morning, but in the beginning was the Word. And so I'm going to say about you and your life. Do you start when you wake up in the morning, when you're looking at situations in your life, what determines your reaction and your response? Let's put it that way. How do you respond to that? Is it based on what you see? Oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Why is this happening to me again? God, I've been going to church. God, I've been praying. God, I've done this and I've done this. I don't understand why this is happening. Where have I missed it? What have I done wrong? God, you know, and so you kind of really focus more on what you're doing than on what Jesus did. Or how about we flip that, and our first response is, it doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what they're saying at work. It doesn't matter, you know, Father, this is what you said in your Word. Your Word says that I am more than a conqueror, not because of what I've done, but it's through Jesus Christ. Your Word says that I can do all things through Christ and in Him. Hallelujah. Your Word says that you've given me the victory in every area. And so I'm going to live out of that reality, and I just praise you and I just thank you. So what's going on out here isn't as important as what's happening on the inside, because in my spirit, man, listen, this is what you've got to get. Let me kind of break this down for a moment. Your spirit, when you became born again, you got moved into the kingdom of heaven. That's why the Bible says that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It says you were crucified, buried, raised, ascended, and now seated in heavenly places. Well, how can that be? It's in your spirit, man.
Amen.
Heaven is on the inside of you. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, the kingdom of God isn't there or there. It's on the inside of you. But the problem is we don't walk with that reality. I say we, I'm talking about Christians in general. We don't live with that mindset. And so your heart is still trying to deal with the external instead of really the reality of what Jesus has done. We've got to go back to the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among you. Now the Word, listen, the Word was made flesh and now dwells in you.
Amen.
The living Word of God was made flesh and now dwells on the inside of you. Say this: the Word dwells on the inside of me. The living Word of God is inside me right now. His name is Jesus. He lives in me. He lives through me. Oh, are y'all ready for this? Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 1. Let me show you the power of this. Galatians chapter 1. I've been doing a series on Wednesday nights It's been one of the greatest things. We're just going step by step, little bit, verse by verse through the book of Galatians, and it's been awesome. Actually, it's chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, and look at this in verse 20.
Amen.
Are your ears open to hear? I want you to see this. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version. Sometimes modern translations, they don't get it right. They don't understand. They're trying to interpret what they think it means instead of just translating it for what it says. And in this particular case, the King James does a great job. Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Now listen, this is what's true. You are, somebody say, I am crucified with Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means my old nature, that sin nature, that thing that caused me to do what I didn't want to do before and caused me to live a way that I didn't want to live, that nature has been crucified with Christ. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this except to say this, that if you're still struggling with addiction and if you're still struggling with sin, it's because you're living out of a wrong identity. You're living out of a wrong understanding. We are taught and we are brought up, even as Christians, to think that we have two natures, that we are a dual nature person, that we have maybe that we have God's nature on the inside of us, but that we're also still struggling with the sin nature. That the sin nature is there, you know, and so it's my flesh versus my spirit. It's my flesh, and so I'm in this eternal battle, and one day, thank God, when I get to heaven, then I'll be free, and the struggle will be over. And so we'll say things like, the struggle is real. Hallelujah. That's not Bible. The Bible doesn't say we have two natures. Yeah, but then what do you do with the fact that I'm addicted? What do you do with the fact that I still sin? What do you do with, okay, that question, listen. And this is what I'm trying to get across over the last few weeks. That question comes out of a wrong priority. That's not the right word I'm looking for. The question comes out of just a wrong view. Because now you're saying, okay, so why am I addicted or why do I sin? And so what you're doing is you're elevating your experience over what the Word of God says.
Amen.
If this is true, if I'm crucified with Christ, guys, what I'm about to tell you right now, this changed my life. Everything, anything that I struggled with, the roller coaster Christian life, the ups and the downs, the sins, the whatever it was that I never could seem to get free from. I'm telling you what I'm about to tell you right now. Man, yes, sir. I'm just going to go. We're going to have to talk about this. So as usual, everything that I planned on talking about this morning that I had properly studied for and all of that, we're just going to throw it out. You know, that's the way the Lord works with me. Now, other people can, you know, do it different, but it's just the way it works. You know, so if you're new here this morning and you're like, what in the world is going on? We just love following the Holy Ghost around here. And sometimes, depending on who's here and what's going on, then the Lord says, you know what? We need to take some time to talk about these things. So just pay attention for a moment. 7 years ago, 2011, I started pastoring this church, but when the Lord called me to pastor this church, I was not in any shape to pastor a church. I'm going to tell you straight up, I didn't want to pastor. I didn't, you know, it was just, I was trying to get my own self worked out and fixed. And Jennifer said she didn't want to be a pastor's wife. So what was that going to do for the marriage? I didn't know. God started talking to me in 2010 about pastoring the church. And I told him no. Do you know that God can win an argument way better than you can? That the purposes and the callings of God, that when He decides He wants something for your life and wants you to be involved, He can be very persistent about that. And he just wouldn't. And, you know, my dad was pastoring at the time. And dad never planned on retiring or stopping pastoring. That was never the plan. And so we never had a succession plan. We never thought about, well, son, one day you're going to. No, that was not in the conversation. And so the Lord, I finally told the Lord, I said, fine, if you want me to pastor, then you're going to have to tell dad. Now, for you that may not know my dad, he is as stubborn and as bullheaded as any person you'll ever meet. For you that know my dad, would you raise your hand if that's an accurate description? Yes, I see that that is absolutely true. But you know what? That's the way God made him. I'm not like him. Somebody said, thank God. No, I'm not like him. And he's not like me. But I'm going to tell you something. It took that determination, that bullheadedness, that stubbornness to plow back in the 80s. The message of faith and what it means to believe God, you know, in a city that was bound up with religion and that didn't want to hear this. That's what it took. See, and that's why God had him for that moment in that time. All right. But now that as we're adding to it a revelation of grace and the love of God, and God was about to take me into a place that I didn't know he was going to take me into, a deeper understanding of just how much God loved me. God said, I want you to pastor the church. Now, I didn't have this revelation. I didn't understand it. I just said, God, you're going to have to talk to dad. 2 weeks later, dad comes in and says, son, I believe that the Lord's told me it's time for you to pastor the church. Man, I was hoping that was a pizza dream. Hoping that was just a thought, you know. I said, well, he's been talking to me about that as well. So what do we do? He said, well, we got a problem. I said, well, I know we got a problem. I knew what he was talking about. He didn't have to tell me what it was. I said, I know we got it. I said, I'm not telling mom. He said, well, I'm not telling your mom either. That's a true story. I'm not making it up. That's exactly the way the conversation went. So we said, well, if God could tell us, God's going to have to tell her. And so we just double fleeced the Lord. And so a month or two later, they were at a meeting. And man, the next morning, dad called me. He's like, son, you're not going to believe it. We've had a major miracle from God. He said, your mom last night said, Frank, I believe the Lord said it's time for Mark to pastor the church. Well, what do you do with that? I'm just going to say, what do you do with that? God's told me. God's told my dad. Three different people God has independently told. What are you going to do now? Say no? I may not be the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not that slow. I mean, because if I said no then, now we're just outright rebellion, and I'm going to miss the plan of God for my life. And so if I know it's God, now I'm going to tell you something about me. If I know it's God, or if I see it in his word, then I'm golden with that. I'm going to say yes to it. And so I did. But I'm like, you don't want me to pastor. But if, you know, whatever. After a year or so, I'll say I told you so. But see, he knew way more than I did. Yeah. This is the reason why we sing like yes and amen. Say yes to the things of God. Say yes to his call in your life. Say yes to his word. Say yes to what he has said about you. Say yes to that. Agree with that. Do you know that God loves you? I was talking to somebody last night, and she said, you know what I've discovered? That God loves me. I've always known that. But I've also come to realize that God likes me. That's a revelation for some people. God likes you. He likes you the way that you are. How do I know that? He created you that way. He enjoys watching your journey in life. He enjoys watching what's unique about you. He enjoys walking with you. He enjoys living through you. He enjoys the distinctiveness of who you are. Christianity isn't about creating, you know, carbon copies or cut out copies of each other and duplicate each other. No, Christianity is about the life that I get, the uniqueness of being marked, you know, in conjunction and joined together with Jesus and that anointing that's on me, the way it works. I don't preach like my dad does. I don't preach like other people do. I can only just be me. And some people like it and some people don't. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to share what has been and how God has changed me, and hope that something that I share and out of the life that we've experienced will impact you. And what the Word of God says. See. Well, I stepped in, started pastoring, didn't know what I was doing at all. And in August of 2011, man, we started finding out about living in the balance of grace and faith. Okay, turn with me over to Romans chapter 5. This is so important. Romans chapter 5. Now remember, I am not going to get... You know what? The great thing about Sunday mornings, that if I don't get as far as I want to... So this is a teaching morning, okay? Last week we tried to run. It was an exciting shout. But this morning, I need you to get this. Okay, so just stay with me, because we're, you know, great thing about Sunday morning is I can just pick up again next Sunday morning. And we're going to lay this foundation that's going to change some things in your life. And so you can hold your finger here in Galatians 1. So I really, man, I'm just going to deal with some things here that I believe is really going to help you, because practically, how do you live the changed life? Practically, how do you live the changed life? In Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Well, let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a powerful revelation. You have peace. You have peace. You have peace with God right now. You have peace with Him. There's nothing that is separating you from God. Nothing, the Bible says in Romans 8, can separate you from the love of God, that because of what Jesus has done, Jesus now is our peace. Jesus is God and Jesus is man, and He brought them all together in one body. And get it, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're baptized into Him. You're baptized into Him, so that reconciliation that happened in the person of Jesus, now you get to receive what that means. You're with peace. You're in Christ, so you're at peace with God. Yes. Nothing can separate you from that. And many people live their life thinking that God's not pleased with them, or that God's angry with them, or that God, you know, it doesn't like them, or whatever it is, and they live their life with this idea of a separation, that God's somewhere up there and I'm down here, and I'm trying to do the best that I can, and maybe one day I'll get to a place that I really have fellowship with God. No, that's not the Word. Okay, this is why I'm trying to bring it all back to, what does the Word say? I can't allow how I feel determine my experience. I can't have my theology and doctrine to accommodate my experience. What I've got to do is I've got to make a decision that I'm going to believe what the Word of God says, because the Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. So what I'm reading, my experience, listen, your past, your emotion, what you feel, cannot determine what you believe.
That's right.
It can't do that. Now, I know some of this is just very foundational for you guys, but I'm telling you, we've got to go back, and we've got to give the more earnest heed to these things. So he says that we have peace with God, and then he says that by whom also, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So here's the thing. We can talk about faith and what it means to believe God, but if faith is given, and we're going to end this thing on a scripture on the Galatians 2:20 that you're going to see how this whole thing works. Faith is given so that we can experience God's grace. See, so instead of just, okay, well, I'm believing God for this, or I want this, or I'm desire this, or whatever, it's got to, if it's not given to us, let's put it this way. If what I desire, or if what I'm praying for, if it's not something that has been given to me through the grace of God, then faith won't work. Faith is given for me to have access into His grace. Now, I don't have time to talk about grace this morning, except to say that we are saved by grace through faith. And that the grace of God, Jesus was full of grace and truth, and out of His fullness have we all received. And so grace is God giving to humanity everything that is His. The kingdom, the blessing. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that God has already given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And then the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that God, that He's given us the Spirit of God to reveal to us the things that have been freely given to us by God. Somebody say free.
Free.
You like free stuff? I like free stuff. And so grace is the free stuff that God has given us. Grace is Jesus Christ Himself. Grace is the complete removal and forgiveness of my sins. Grace is me stepping into His kingdom and being the righteousness of God in Christ, not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did. And just say it, as I step into You, Jesus, as I believe in You and Your finished work, that becomes the reality in my life. And so it says that we have access by faith. I've got to believe something into this grace. And we rejoice. Look at this. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Now, if I'm going to live my life according to this word, I'm talking about my journey for just a few minutes here. What do I do? What do I do? Well, look at this in chapter 6. I said that you were crucified. We were there in Galatians 2:20. You were crucified with Christ. What does that mean? And this dual nature mentality that we live in. What? Verse 1. Shall we continue? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, absolutely not. And then he makes this statement that makes no sense. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Now, I'm like, what are you smoking, Paul? How can we? That is not language that we use. It's not language that we use in church. Like, if you say, well, I mean, if we say, I'm a sinner, say, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, we say, yes, amen, that's correct, that's right. But what if I was to say, well, how can you that are dead to sin, how can you still live in sin? That makes your brain go tilt. It's like, that's not my experience, guys. So this makes no sense. Let's go to the next verse for a moment. Don't you know that as many as of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into His death? That's great. That's a great theological concept. Go to verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Again, it's kind of mystical. It's like, how does all that work? Okay, yeah, I hear you. It's, you know, something spiritual happened. We're baptized into His death. But really, how does that work? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Wonderful scripture. I wish that was true. I wish I could do that. You know, again, Paul was super Christian. I'm just not. So I really don't understand this. I'm just telling you, this was kind of my thing as I'm reading it about 7 years ago. Let's keep on going. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Whoop-de-doo, that would be awesome. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, he's not talking about my dad, that our old, he's talking about the old nature. Knowing this, oh man, I'm glad I took him out to lunch last week. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. He's talking about the old nature. This is what he's talking about. He's saying he's crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I was reading this one day, and this stopped me in my tracks. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I went, wait a minute, hold on. Hold on for a second. You're saying my old nature was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be destroyed. Well, man, what are you talking about? The body of sin. That's what I want. I want the body of sin to be destroyed in my life, but it's not. I still sin. I'm still having issues. But here he said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed so that we would no longer serve sin. Well, now I got a problem. We have a problem, Houston. Because this says one thing, but my experience says something different. This says that the body of sin was destroyed because my old nature was crucified with Christ. But here I am, a Christian, still sinning. So which one's right? I'm using this as an example. Which one's right? Well, go down to verse 11. I think it is. So likewise, reckon you, count yourself, see yourself, believe about yourself. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I have a choice. You have a choice. I can either now live my life around my experience and continue to let this struggle with sin and this struggle with the old nature and this struggle with that be defined by what I've always believed and what I've always known and what I've always experienced. Or I can take this word and I can say, you know what? I am going to choose now because God, you said it. And this is what... Listen, this is what living the changed life is about. Get a hold of this. Jesus, when you became born again, came to live on the side inside of you, gave you his life, his righteousness, his ability, his power, just everything about him. Right now, that's on the inside. The Bible says, as he is, so are you in this world. Colossians tells us that there was a circumcision, a cutting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, cut away because of what Jesus did. Now what I do cannot be... What I do can't be the determining cause of what I believe. It can't be. The Word of God that God has decreed, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, he's decreed something about you. He's talked about you. He said, you're my child. You're forgiven. You are made righteous. You are made holy. That sin has been destroyed. Jesus defeated sin, took every judgment, took every accusation against you. He took it on the cross. He took it all. He took your old nature. And when he, having been made sin, was dead, buried in the ground, that the moment that you believe Jesus Christ, something miraculous takes place in your life. And as far as heaven is concerned, get this, as far as God Himself is concerned, that old nature, that nature that didn't want to do the will of God, that nature that just was addicted to things, that nature that sinned all the time, that nature was buried with Him. And the only way for you to experience that changed life, the only way for you to experience the truth of that, you have access into that grace. That's a free gift. You have access into it by faith. If I don't believe that, if I choose to believe my addiction, if I choose to believe my experience and allow that to define who I am and allow that to define the way that I think, if I choose to let my life be governed by that, then what's happened is I've disconnected from the freeing power of the Holy Spirit that is right there on the inside of me. The way for me to access it is through, I got to believe what the Word of God says. Now let's go back to verse 6. And then we'll go to Galatians 2:20 and I'll bring it to a close. This is important. Listen, this is your life. Guys, I struggled with stuff. I'm telling you, I mean, I've raised in a Christian family, raised, you know, as a pastor's son. I wasn't one of those bad pastor's kids, okay? I mean, I was a pretty good kid, but still just feeling the pull of sin and just feeling and just going the hot and cold of the Christian life. I'm just like, God, you know, I felt like Paul that said, who will deliver me from this wretched man that I am? That's what I felt like was going on in my life all the time. It's the reason why I didn't want to be a pastor. Hear my heart. What I'm telling you and what I'm about to describe to you absolutely changed my life 7 years ago permanently. I don't have ups and downs anymore. Amen. I'm going from glory to glory, from change to change, experience to experience. I'm talking for 7 years, I haven't gone through a valley. Isn't that amazing? Oh. Knowing this, I know something. You got to know something. My old man, my old nature is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's a done deal. I went to the Lord. I said, okay, this goes against what I believed my whole life as far as me personally. I've always thought there was a dual nature. I said, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take you at your word. Amen. I'm going to just, I see this in your word, and if I'm wrong, then Father, you know the integrity of my heart, and so you'll have to show me. You'll just have to show me in your word. But because I'm seeing this in your word, here's the decision I'm making today. Guys, you got to make a decision to believe the word of God. You've got to decide that you got to be so determined that I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to look to Him because He is my identity. I said, Father, two things. One, I'm talking about to the very core of my being. And you know what you believe. I'm just going to say, you know. I'm not talking about just agreeing with something up here. You know if there's fear down here. And you know if you really, you know, live your life believing. I made a decision deep down that, I mean, it was a decision that I wasn't going to change from. I'm going to believe that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That you love me unconditionally. You accept me. You're not angry with me. You're not mad at me. But you just love me. And I'm not going to look at when I make a mistake or when I sin that you're angry with me or that you're disappointed in me. And I'm not going to live my life with this idea that I'm a disappointment to you. And some of you here today, you live your life with this idea that you're a disappointment to God. You disappoint your family, you disappoint friends, you disappoint this. And so obviously God's got to be in that. No, God is not like everybody else.
Amen.
God loves you unconditionally, and God sees you through Jesus and sees you through the finished work of the cross and sees you for the potential that you have. And he and not a single one of us here this morning is of less value in the kingdom of God than another.
Amen. That's right.
But we think that, and so we live out that identity. Oh, I'm just not valuable. I said, Father, I'm going to believe that. And then the other thing, number two is I am going to, from this day forward, I don't care what I do. Whatever happens, not that I'm looking for a theology that will allow me to sin, because that's my heart never, you know, I know some people say, well, you know, grace people, they just, you know, sin. And no. See, that was never in my heart. I'm not looking for some doctrine that will now allow me to do whatever I want. I'm looking for freedom.
Amen.
I'm looking. I mean, a born again Christian, you can't live in sin, and you can't live doing the wrong thing, you know, without it bothering you, because you have a different nature on the inside of you. And so when you recognize who you are and who God's created you to be, you'll start living that out. And so I said, from this moment forward, I don't care what I do, if I sin, if I make a mistake, whatever it is, I will not see myself as a sinner anymore. I will not see myself with a problem or whatever it is. From this moment forward, I'm going to believe what your word says. That old sin nature is dead. I don't care what my experience is. Your word said this. And so my faith is in what you said. And I believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's the way I see myself, regardless of what I do. Let me tell you what happened to me. In that moment, when I did, nobody ever told me this would happen. I can't even hardly believe it. I said, if anybody told me this is what was going to happen, I wouldn't have believed it. So y'all going to have to try to believe this. When I did that, I felt from the top of my head, I felt like an outer skin. It just fell off of me. I'm like, what in the world just happened? And I've never had another problem in 7 years with ups and downs or with sin or with any of that or with the struggle or any. I don't say the struggle is real. There is no struggle. There is no struggle for the child of God. But it's not because I did something. It's because I chose to believe the word of God. Now, let me show you what happened. Let's close it with Galatians chapter 2 here. Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. You have to live your life with that understanding. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, he lives in me. Now see, now you're starting to see something different. You're not living for yourself. You're not living with your own thoughts and dreams and desires and all of that. You're now allowing the living Christ and the living Word to live through you. You get to live His life and His dreams for you, which is way beyond anything that you could ask or think for yourself. The power that's working in you, Ephesians chapter 3, says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. So what I want to do is I want to allow His dreams and His plans and His purposes for my life. The last 7 years has been the best 7 years of our life. Not because of finances or this or that or external things, but because of God. He is real. We hear Him every day. We get to walk with Him. We get to co-labor with Him. We get to hear Him. His love for us. All of those things. But Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh. I want you to see this. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 16 says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. In other words, you're not righteous because of what you do, but you're justified by the faith of. I want you to see that two-letter word of, not faith in. Not faith in. It's the faith of. It's Jesus' faith himself. The faith of Jesus, even we which have believed in. So you see, there's two different faiths at operation. He says, I'm justified by the faith of Jesus, even us who have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Here's where I want to close. Get this. Jesus, you're joined to him and you're born again spirit. You're joined to him. Everything, every part of him is available to you right now. It says, till Christ be formed in us. That's living the changed life. We are growing into him, into all things. But it's not because of our faith. What we do is, listen, get this phrase. Our faith in him releases the faith of him. Get it again. My faith, what I believe about and believe in Jesus, releases him and the faith of him to operate in my life. As I look to him and I look to what he said and I say, I believe that. When I did that, when I said, Jesus, my whole nature was crucified with you. See, now what I did is I chose to believe in the finished work of the cross. I chose to believe in what Jesus had done because I found it in the Word. And when I did that, then the work of Christ and him and what he's done, it released on the inside of me. It changed me, not just in my spirit, man. Now it began to change me in my thinking. Now it began to change my heart. Now it began to change my action. And so Jesus, and so that's why he goes down and says, so now the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus believes in you more than you do. All he wants is for you to get out of the way. Stop doing it your own way. Stop trying to figure it all out. And just get back and believe what his word says and allow what he did on the cross. Allow what he did through his resurrection. Allow the reality of that. Allow him to live through you. Man, I'm just telling you. We're going to pick up on this next week. There's so many things on living the changed life. But it starts with a decision. It starts with a decision. Alan, if you'll come on up. Get a hold of this. It starts with a decision. That I am going to live my life according to the Word of God. I am going to, what I see in this book, in this New Testament, concerning who Jesus is. And the reality of him, my faith in him releases the faith of him. So much better to let Jesus live through you. He's a reigning king, the reigning champion, defeated the devil, defeated demonic spirits, defeated addiction. Defeated anything that would try to hold you. Defeated poverty. Defeated sickness. Defeated all of those things. Nothing. Everything must bow at the name of Jesus. So Jesus, I make a decision today. Do this with me. I make a decision today to trust, to believe your word. My experience will no longer determine my life. My experience will no longer determine my future. What I've experienced in the past, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, don't make no difference in the world. From this moment forward, let's just kind of do this together. From this moment forward, y'all just do it personally. I'm going to choose to believe your word over my experience, believe your word over my doctrine, believe your word over what I thought was the way to go. I'm just going to read it for what it says. I'm going to stop trying to make it fit me, and I'm just going to allow my life to yield to it. Child of God, what I'm talking about is a life that is so extraordinary for the believer. That when the blessing of Abraham, that it's on the Gentiles now, it is a life, what God has called us into isn't just an average life. It isn't just a little blessing here and a little blessing there. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit are available for every one of you to operate in the kingdom of God, to operate that you are an influencer, that you are expanding the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if I cast out the devils by the Holy Ghost, then that means the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God is in you. Now, you're surrounded by favor. You're surrounded by grace. You're surrounded. I want to speak a blessing over you. This is the word of God. He says the favor of God. It compasses you about right now as with favor, as with a shield. And that means receive this word. Receive this word. Receive this word. Everywhere that you go, the favor of God right now, the favor of God is on your life. The favor of God. You've got to see yourself. You've got to see yourself. The favor of God, the grace of God, it's going before you. The favor of God, the power of God fills you, flows through you. You have that. That is Jesus living his life through you right now. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are with him right now. He lives his life. You're not separated. When you go to work, it's not you're being less spiritual. He is there with you at your job. The favor of God is there to promote you. I speak right now. There's promotion coming for some of you that have been believing God for a promotion. Right now, receive. Get out of the way. Stop trying to make it happen. Stop trying to figure it out. Let Jesus do the work in and through you. Let the favor of God. He can do more in a moment than you can do out of a year trying to make and manipulate and all of that. It's time to rest. Healing right now in the name of Jesus. Healing right now in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. If you've been believing God, trusting God, needing to be healed, don't let time get a hold of this word. Don't let time rob you of your miracle. Time has no place in the mind of a believer when it comes to the eternity of what God has said. The word of God abides forever. And we'll let time, well, it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. And so your faith is more in the time than it is in what God has said. Or why? Maybe because of this. Or God won't heal because. And so we have a list of why not. And so the fact that we have a list shows that we don't really believe. Jesus didn't have a list. Jesus did not have, but it may not work, but Jesus knew. And Paul says, I know in whom I believe. And I'm just going to encourage you. It's time to believe and to cast aside the doubt and to trust. And you will come to the same place. Knowing will begin to happen. Understanding. Jennifer and I, we took what we were learning about the balance between believing God and entering into grace and what all of that is. And it took us 2 years to understand it. We agreed with it. We said it's in the Word. But somewhere there were our eyes in the inside. We still hadn't grasped it. But after about 2.5 years, one day we taught, it was like, there was a switch. We knew it. We saw it. And we started living out of it. Commit yourself to understanding. Commit yourself to these things. Father, thank you right now in the name of Jesus for blessing your people. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing us. We see ourselves as children of the Most High God. We see ourselves as as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we see ourselves now according to the way that you see us. We make a decision to believe your word only, to live the life that you've already changed us into, and to allow that to be manifested. And we'll step out. I said, we'll step out. We'll step out into places that we've never stepped into before because of our trust in you. Because you'll never relax your hold on us. I speak healing again right now. Healing. Bodies are being healed in the name of Jesus. His word says that by his stripes we were healed. We're not healed because of what we do. We're not healed. Listen, we're healed because Jesus took every sickness. We're healed because of what he did. Holy Spirit, thank you for confirming that word right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.